Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to Renee's Heart to Heart. I'm glad you could make it. Well, today is Bullies to Buddies Day. And, of course, that always leads us down so many different paths. And as I've said many, many times before, it's shocking when you look at human behavior, how many times bullying or a derivative of bullying plays into everything that we see going on in the world. But I guess, no matter how much I learn about this, no matter how much I read, the worst is, of course, the effect on the young people. You know, there's ups and downs to that. If you go through something when you're very young, the hope is that you have plenty of time to work through it, as opposed to having something horrific happen to you when you're, say, in your 60s or something, and maybe you never work through it before you're finished. So I guess there's, you know, good and bad in both. But when I research so many of the stories and so many of the things that happen around our world, a lot of the stories that we talk about on the air, the kids that are abused by the people that brought them into this world and that are supposed to be protecting them from abuse and unkindness and everything that you don't want that brand new pink soft baby to ever have to endure. Very often the worst person in their life is supposed to be the person that's protecting them. So for all these different reasons, young people hide, or they get into some self-destructive mode. And some of them are very scary. Some of them can never, ever really be under control. So that's what we're going to talk about today. I found two different stories that I think have some validity, and I think we can discuss them and see if there's anything we can figure out if somebody out there is suffering from those same problems in their own family. So let's bring Shell in. Good morning, Shell.
Well, good morning, Rainey.
How you doing, babe?
I'm doing good, doing good. This cold is like really hanging on.
Well, it's a rough time of the year to get any kind of cold. That is for sure. You know,
well, it's everybody that I've been talking to. I mean, there are some people who've been out of work because of it. You know, so thank God it's not hitting me that hard. But it's a different kind of a flu. It kind of like goes through stages, and you go through chest and throat stuff, then you go through headaches, then you go through body aches. Now it's in my gut. And it seems like a couple of the other people I spoke to, you think you're getting something new, but I think it's the same strain. I think it just goes through the body in stages or something. So it's kind of weird. You think you're over it, and then 2 days later, you have a different set of symptoms, and now it seems to be just resting in my chest. So, we'll see. But
I can still hear it in your voice. It doesn't sound like it's in your head now. It sounds like it's in your chest.
It's more in my chest and my throat now, and in my stomach a little bit, which I didn't have any of those symptoms at the onset of it. So, but the weather is wonky here. I mean, it's very, very cold at night, and then yesterday during the day it got up to like 77, so it almost felt hot. It's supposed to be 80 by the end of the week, so. Floridians, although we have beautiful weather, this really messes with our body's ability to acclimate, because we go through, in a week's time, we can go through a 40-degree shift in temperature. And that makes it really hard for the body to know which mode to go into.
Well, I think it's kind of worldwide, the wonky weather, as you put it. It's really kind of worldwide. I mean, here in Michigan, actually my phone brings up Kalamazoo, which is pretty close to where I am. Huh. And the first days I was here, you know, like the third, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth, all the way up until about the 12th, we were never out of the 30s. And some mornings when we got up, it was like 29 degrees. This morning, it's 47 degrees here.
Yeah.
And yesterday, it stayed in the high 40s as well. So weird, weird, weird. But
well, I'm going to get myself some quercetin today. I don't know if any of the listeners have ever heard of that. It's a very, very good supplement. It's got vitamin C and bromelain in it. Bromelain is a natural anti-inflammatory, so it helps the lungs. The vitamin C boosts the immune system. And quercetin kind of, it's a natural way of opening up the lungs and being able to breathe easier. Every time I take it, within a couple of days, I get real relief. So I just haven't had an opportunity to run out and get some, so I'm going to get myself some today. And that always puts me in a starting to feel better more quickly. And I actually, you know, it's so weird, you know, I know all this stuff, but if I'm not thinking about it, like I'm giving advice to another person, sometimes I forget to do for myself unless I go into that, okay, what should I be doing mode. You just try to, like, go from day to day and expect to be better. And then this morning when I woke up, I was like, okay, I got to make this go away faster. And then I was like, I should have been taking quercetin all along, because that's what clears it very quickly for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I get what you're saying about always your mode of somebody coming to you with a problem and all of your expertise kicking in. And then when you're talking about yourself, it's more like, you know, oh, I'll be all right tomorrow. You know,
exactly.
It's just the mindset we get in. So one of the stories that I want to talk about today on Bullies to Buddies Day is was written by a mom, and this is from the magazine Your Teen for Parents, which is a great magazine. And if you're dealing with a house full of teenagers, it wouldn't hurt you to pick up this magazine and peruse it. I mean, some of it is what it is, advertisements for, you know, acne and all that kind of stuff. But it's a good magazine, and the stories are usually written by other parents. So I like that. This story is called My Daughter's Journey from Bullying to Cutting to Recovery. And as you know, if you've listened to the show for any length of time, we've done a lot of conversations about cutting. And some of them are so extreme that they're like heart-wrenching. And I've shared with people my bit of time spent with a young woman who came from a very, very broken-up family, very disturbed. Everybody could have used a helping hand, everybody, mother, father, sisters, brothers, grandparents, everybody. They'd just gotten into kind of a pot of really, really stinky stew that they could never climb out of. And, of course, the ones that suffered the most were the youngest children. And I tried. There wasn't much I could do except just be there for this young woman. And now she's out of the state, and I've not heard from her for a long time. But it's a pretty sad place to be when you actually can take a razor blade and just cut at your own body. So let's hear this story. I always said I would fight for my child, and I meant that with every ounce of my being. In 2009, I had to do exactly that. I was not only fighting the school and the bullies, but I was also fighting my daughter herself. Our story starts when my daughter was a sixth grader in middle school in Norfolk, Virginia. I understood that middle school was a time where kids think they are tough and girls have drama, and honestly thought that we were dealing with just that. I told my daughter to ignore the girls that were picking on her, and that they'd eventually stop. I told her to stand up to them, and they would eventually stop. I told her to report it to the teacher, guidance counselor, and principal, and they would ensure it stopped. Well, you know, side note, we all know that's not going to happen. So my daughter listened, and then she stopped talking about it. So I believe that things had gotten better. Unfortunately, the bullying had reached a point that changed not only her life, but mine as well. Instead of talking to me about being bullied, she just started to self-harm instead. On Mother's Day in 2009, my daughter finally reached out for help. She sent a letter saying the bullying had gotten so bad that she had started to cut herself. She was doing it on her thighs so that no one would know. She used erasers, the metal part that holds the eraser on a pencil. While at school, she would cut with broken plastic utensils. I sat down on my floor and just sobbed. I sobbed for the girl who couldn't understand why everyone was so mean to her. I sobbed for myself, wondering what had gone wrong. From bullying to cutting, how would I miss the signs? After years of therapy and endless attempts to build her self-confidence, I began to fight for my daughter's life. With each passing day, she was getting more and more out of control with the cutting. I was beyond scared, and counseling wasn't helping. I worried that I was losing her. One day she came to me in and said she needed serious help. She was having thoughts of ending her pain. This time I didn't cry. Instead, I got angry. Not at her, but at everyone else. She stayed in the mental hospital for 5 days. But things really didn't change. I went to the school and they blamed me. I went to the superintendent and they took the word of the principal at the school. I went to our congressman and still nobody did anything. In February of 2012, I took her out of school so she could be homeschooled with the assistance of the homeschool teacher. She passed 8th grade. I could see that she was starting to gain some confidence, although thoughts of suicide still loomed, and she had a death date. That date came and went, and then the following day we celebrated her life. Every day remains a constant struggle. She still fights the battle of depression and anxiety. I realize that some may think that bullying is normal and that children should just let it go. But I've witnessed firsthand that the victims and their parents never fully recover. My daughter can be very distant at times, and during those times I worry if she will go back to hurting herself. I know that she still cuts, and for her that's her comfort zone. I often wish that we could go back to 6th grade and that I would have seen the signs and prevented the damage that was done. But deep down, I know that I couldn't have done any more than I did. This young woman that wrote this, her name is Michelle Keys, and she's a single mom of 3 children, and she's in active duty in the U.S. Navy in Honolulu. So before you and I discuss this, the comments at the end that are always interesting, these are incredibly supportive. So I'd like to read some of them. Bravo to you, Michelle. Never think you're a bad mom. You're not. All moms at one time or another think that. I have seen firsthand how great you are, from the dark little girl who grew up to a beautiful woman and a great mom. This must be somebody who knows her. And then another one says, great article, Michelle. You're an awesome mom, and your daughter is very lucky to have you. Hope everything continues to work out. Then a young woman by the name of Lisa, bullying and suicide are not to be taken lightly, which clearly you didn't. God bless you both in this journey. And the final one, which is kind of interesting, I feel like you just told my story. It was such a difficult time for us, but we made it through. I have the same concerns that she may go back to her old ways, but for now she is happy and healthy. You know, I guess the biggest lesson that you learn from stories like this, real, true life stories, is that things like this perhaps change and get into a workable state, but they really don't ever go away. They really don't ever go back to what you at one point in time thought was normal. So we've talked about cutting a lot. What are your feelings on this story, Shel?
Well, it's ironic that we're talking about that today, because on one of my judge shows day before yesterday, I don't think it's the same girl because some of the details aren't the same, but there was a girl on there who had been bullied in school, turned to cutting, and had also planned to commit suicide, but didn't share it with her mother. One of her friends got wind of the fact that she had planned to take her life because she was overwhelmed by the bullying, and told the friend's mom, and the mother approached her and got her help, and now she did respond to therapy actually very quickly, and now she's running anti-bullying campaigns. She's gone from one extreme to the other, from being the victim to being proactive in teaching people about bullying. And then the case had to do with some shirts she ordered for an activity she was doing, and they weren't made right. So, but in order to say why it was so important for these shirts to look the right way, it was for some sort of an event she was running, and she had made T-shirts for the event. She had to tell the story about, you know, why these shirts are so important and why the message has to read the right way, you know. And, you know, so it was an interesting case. But in talking about it, you had to hear this girl's history, you know. So it was very interesting. I don't believe she was ever hospitalized. I believe she got therapy they never said she was hospitalized for it. But you can see that she's very much in control now. She's still in school. I don't believe she was ever taken out and homeschooled. So that's what I'm saying. Some of the details are different, so I don't think it's the same girl. But it's interesting that we hear this all the time when somebody's bullied, that they go to self-cutting. And my layman take on that, not just understanding from a common sense point of view how the psyche works, when you cut yourself, it's a form of self-degradation. It's also a way, when you start feeling numb, when you've shut down so much as a protection against abuse, it's a way of still feeling something. Because when somebody is so abused and they shut their emotions off, this is one way that they can still feel something. So there's actually a duality to the cutting, and it's probably even more complex than that, but these are the two that I've been able to cull from some of the articles I've read. So it's all an indication of somebody with a damaged self-image, somebody with a damaged self-identity, because you have to understand that children, preteens and teens, aren't done yet. They're not adults yet. They haven't formed who they're going to be. There's a lot of confusion when hormones kick in, and hormones kick in at younger ages than they used to now because of diet. We've discussed that. So this is an extremely complex matter. It's not just the bullying. There's so many things that set one child up to be bullied and another not. So, yes, you can be angry at the people that are bullying them, but the bottom line is, why do some people get bullied and others don't? This is where I agree completely with Izzy Kalman. There's something with that child that needs to be dealt with, because you cannot stop bullying. What you can do is you can enlighten people and make bullying more and more unacceptable, so that over a generation it just stops happening, because the bullies start getting such negative response to them, okay? But the bottom line is you can't stop bullying. The only thing you can do is strengthen the individual so that they're not affected by it, because that's where the cutting came from. It wasn't the words that these girls were saying to her. It was her reaction to the words. And that is completely in the individual's control. And it's a hard thing to stomach. But the bottom line is it does come down to the victim being taught how not to think like a victim and not put themselves in. Because it, those girls didn't cut her. She cut herself. But she cut herself because she allowed words that were being said to her, whether it was threats or insults, to impact her own self-worth. And that's internal. That can't come from outside of you.
Well, I agree. I think that that's exactly what they take away, is your self-worth. It's all about that. It's all about whether or not you believe them, whether or not you give the words that they're throwing at you any credence. And we talk about that on the Bullies to Buddies show all the time. Somebody needs to be able to say to you at a very early age, the very first time somebody, another five-year-old, looks at you and says, you're an idiot. I mean, because I hear little kids talk like that to each other. What an idiot you are, or something like that. You have to be able to say to somebody, you know, Shelley said, I was an idiot, Mom. And Mom just looks at him and says, that's ridiculous. You're not an idiot. This is what an idiot is. This is somebody who can't make decisions, somebody who has lots of trouble. It used to be an actual medical term, the word idiot.
Right.
And now
right.
it's become slang and derogatory comments.
Right.
So, you know, it is what it is, but
it was actually a medical diagnosis.
Exactly. Somewhere along the line, there has to be somebody that you can say. Some little kids are afraid to tell Mommy or Daddy that somebody called them an idiot because it might be true. And maybe Mommy and Daddy don't know it yet. You know, can you see the line of process with the child? Knowing that that's not a nice word, and knowing that it was said in a unkind way, a five-year-old could say, oh, my gosh, maybe they're right. Maybe I am an idiot. Mommy and Daddy didn't say I am, but maybe they just love me too much to tell me that I'm an idiot. So if there's never any conversation about that, that's the only controversy between what Izzy teaches us and what I believe, because I believe in talking about everything. And I mean that, everything. Not with everybody. It's not something, you don't share everything with everybody. But you do need to have somebody that you pretty much share everything with,
mm-hmm.
especially when you're 5 years old, right? So that
I think it's important for parents to be proactive. And mm-hmm. if they have a child that's doing really well in school and seems to be happy all the time and gets involved in school activities, that behavior unto itself sort of gives you the indication that everything is okay. If you have a child that was either there and now all of a sudden is becoming reclusive and depressed, or their grades are dropping, or you have a child that never got to that social level and seems to be uncomfortable with school, then the onus is really on the parents to be aware of that and talk to the child, whether the child says anything back to them or not. Because you have to understand that if the child is going through that, they may not want to share it with you. They may not feel they can. So what you have to do is talk at the child at that time, and with the intent that your words are going to seed new thoughts in their head. You know, you can tell them, say, look, I'm sure something's going on. I wish you would tell me. Maybe in the next couple of days or weeks, you'll feel comfortable talking to me, but obviously something's going on. You know, I'm older than you. I've lived longer than you. I know I can help you with this. And then talk about bullying. Talk about things. Say, look, it could be this. It could be that. I'm telling you, there are answers. There are things that can be done to make you feel better about this situation and then get past it, and at least see the conversation. I tried this once with a young person that I was trying to help, and it worked. The first conversation would not open up at all. So what I did is I just seeded the ground, and sure enough, a couple weeks later, and we had a follow-up conversation. But sometimes you're not going to get through to them in the first or second or third conversation, but if you constantly let them know, if you keep saying the words, look, this can be dealt with, I know there's an answer for whatever you're going through, but you've got to share with me what's happening, eventually the child will open up, because on some level they want help, they just don't know how to ask for it. They feel like they're in a situation that nobody else has ever gone through, and that's the worst. If they understood that this is happening to tens of thousands of kids every day all over the country, and that there are ways of dealing with it, you know, then they might see that little ray of hope. But unfortunately, what happens is they become so isolated, they think they're the only one that it's happening this way to.
And that's the biggest danger. What you just said right there is the biggest danger.
Exactly.
Because then it's like you're floating out in the ocean on an iceberg and can't get close to anything that's going to save you. That's
exactly.
Even for a grown-up, honey, that's the worst place to be.
Absolutely.
So that's why they start, you know, kind of like, am I for real? And they start doing things to hurt themselves because, like you mentioned before, they need to feel something that brings them back to feeling like they're still alive. And it's a very, very sad thing. Do you remember the last year, I think it was, I got a call from somebody who works in a prison, a women's prison. And she was beside herself because she was aware that one of the inmates that was being released that week for committing some, I guess, robberies and things like that to survive, another one of those awful, sad stories. And she had been cutting herself while in prison, and they found razors hidden in her teeth. Do you remember that story?
Ooh, no.
How somebody can, don't you? I contemplated I don't know, how you could do that, hide razor blades in your teeth. But apparently they break them into pieces or something and put them between their teeth, and they don't care that it shreds their mouth because it's just a part of the issue. So she called me, and I made all kinds of phone calls. 211, kids in distress, nobody, and I mean this, and it was one of many times in the last 2 years that I've done stuff like this, tried to research for somebody else because they didn't have the wherewithal, and I really couldn't find any place to help them either. So there is that as well. I mean, this Michelle, this mom who said, you know, she put her daughter in a hospital for 5 days, the story of the girl that I told, she was in and out. She'd be caught cutting herself in school. And the school authorities would step in, and they'd take her right away and put her in a hospital scenario, a mental ward, and keep her for 3 days, analyze her, put her on some kind of drug, and send her back out on the street.
Wow. Well, see,
so there isn't
this is when I look at the differences between Eastern and Western medicine. In the United States, with psychiatry and psychotherapy, when you have someone that is so off mentally and emotionally, they seem to be unstable, they seem to be out of sync with their own life, there seems to be a lack of normal connection, they're overly sensitive, where things that, you know, a comment said to you or I that we would brush off or just say, well, screw you, yeah, that's not true, you know, affects them to their core. These are all emotion. This is not how our emotions are supposed to work. We're not supposed to be that sensitive. We do have the ability to have strength to withstand that kind of stuff. It's like having a strong immune system against infection. Having a mind and a rationale to be able to blow off when people are trying to be mean to you is just like having a strong immune system, but it's a strong immune system of the mind. So why do some people have the ability to shrug it off and not be affected, and others are affected to the point of wanting to take their own lives, of it damaging them so severely? Well, in when you're talking about holistic healing methods, they don't look at the emotions. They don't look at the psychiatric diagnosis of the person. They look at the balance of the overall body, and sometimes they find energetically that there are things that are clogging the works up, so this person never feels okay. And when they clear these energetic blocks, it can be done through acupuncture and Reiki sessions. There's all different types of energy clearing. A lot of times the emotions of that person clear. I have a friend of mine who does these type of sessions. She had one woman who was diagnosed as bipolar. She would go into fits of rage and then fits of just depression to the point where she wanted to take her own life. She was also a cutter. And through some... it took several sessions, but through energy clearing, they found this woman had a severe traumatic block from when she was a child. She didn't even really remember the incident, but it came up in some of these sessions.
Manifested
and,
itself in her life, yeah.
Once they cleared it, this woman was like sobbing. They wouldn't even let her leave the house because this woman was like uncontrollably crying for several hours. But then once she got past that and released whatever it was, she was okay. I mean, it was like a permanent fix. It was in that session, everything changed for this woman. And they hear from her from time to time, and she's still okay. She doesn't cut anymore. Whatever blocked up inside of her was completely gone. No drugs, you know, no institutionalism and stuff like that. So it is something that has gotten my attention. And this is one of the things that delayed my book, because I actually am putting in a chapter about that, because there are things that affect us energetically, such as a cell phone equipment and things like that. And when I look at the sensitivity of children today as compared to sensitivity when I was a kid, it's different. It's deeper. You didn't have kids picking on other kids and then being so devastated that they wanted to take their own lives. You also didn't have kids picking on kids in such a cruel way either, all right? So there's extremes on both sides. It seems like the bulliers have become more cruel, and the victims of bullying have become more injured, more sensitive to the bullying. So you have extremes on both sides. Why has that happened? And I look at diet, which is much worse than it used to be, so it can almost inspire anger or fear in kids. And then I look at a lot of the things energetically that we are exposed to on a daily basis that people don't realize are messing with our constitution. And you have a mental immune system just like you have a physical immune system. So I'm kind of connecting the dots here and seeing a lot of this moving forward with technology, because we don't understand how technology affects us. And when you understand that everything is energy, how can it not be altering how people think and feel when you have this cell phone stuck to your head all day long, or you're sitting there texting and you have this cell phone in your hands and you're just absorbing all these EMFs all day long? So
I think all of those things add into people's bad behavior. But one of the things that I think you're slipping over with everything that you've just said is when somebody is immersed in a particular behavior and there's no opportunity to redirect your behavior, practice becomes perfect. You know, practice of being a bully, you hone your skills at being a bully the same way you hone your skills at being a victim. And
right.
Because you did, that's all you ever
habitual,
do.
Habitual, right. It becomes
exactly.
Habitual. Exactly.
Yeah.
And they don't know how to not act like.
I need you, listen, I need you to talk a little bit, because I'm at work and some workmen just showed up and there's nobody here but me. I apologize. Can you expound a little bit more on this? I'll be right back.
Of course.
Okay, thanks.
Right. Yeah, not a problem. So my heart goes out to people that feel victimized by bulliers. But to me, there really is more hope in this situation, because I absolutely believe that people can be energetically boosted through going through different types of clearings. I don't think that drugs are the answer. I don't think giving people mood-altering drugs to make them feel better about themselves is the answer. If anything, I think that cripples them more, because now they're not developing the ability to deal with something. They're basically masking it. It's like putting a Band-Aid on a broken arm. They're pretending it's not there. Drugs do not fix emotional issues. They mask them. All these people that suffer from depressants and they take antidepressants, that doesn't fix anything. If anything, the antidepressants can make them feel worse. And when you listen to the commercials all the time, you hear these, you hear the warnings. So I strongly recommend that people research things like holistic natural healings, acupuncture, Reiki healers, people that get into energy work, because a lot of what affects people is energy blockages in the body. And although that sounds overly simplistic, it really is not. It is very, very effective. And when you're talking about how energy flows in the body, all the different Eastern sciences, and they really are sciences, they've been around for thousands of years, much longer than Western medicine, and they've always been much more effective on helping the body come to a balance. When the physical body is in balance and the emotions are in balance, then you have health on both sides. You have physical health and emotional health. But when you have imbalanced blockages in energy, it can bring about damage to the immune system in both. And I like using the word immune system for the mind, because that's basically what it is. You are protecting your mind with your thought processes. You are protecting your mind and your emotions by what you allow to come in. So if you have a strong mental immune system, if you have a strong emotional immune system, then you're just going to reject these negative things that people say and not be affected by them, just the way your immune system would block a virus or a bacteria coming in and stomp it out before it ravaged the body. A strong mental or emotional immune system works the same way. And there's many ways of getting there. You can get there by seeing some sort of an energy worker, an energy healer, and clearing any blockages. You can also get there by reading books. Now, somebody who's already depressed may not be willing to put these efforts out, so it's helpful for the people around them to know about these solutions. Maybe the people in their lives can read the books or research the energy healing, and then inspire this person, or if they're the parent, they just take them and say, look, I want you to see somebody today. I think they can make a difference for you, and start seeing what it is. I'm going to be writing about the different type of options, like the Mind Sonar we discussed yesterday for helping people who suffered real PTSD. But there's other solutions for people that feel victim, maybe not something that rises to the level of PTSD, but bullies are suffering a sort of trauma, but it's a trauma, and I don't mean to make this sound heartless, because I don't mean it this way, but it's a trauma that's over exaggerated. And what I mean by that, if somebody tells you every day you're stupid and ugly and we're going to kick your ass and why don't you just leave this earth because you're not worthy to be here, that should make the person, if anything, angry in self-defense of themselves. That's nonsense. Who the hell are you to talk to me like that? But on the other side, they should be like, wow, I want nothing to do with you. You're just a mean, ugly person, you know, in their heads. Stay away from me, and look at them, shrug your shoulders and walk away and say, wow, that person is not happy. For them to be able to say something that cruel to me, there is something wrong with them, and walk the other way. But most kids that are bullied that hear those things and take them in is, like you said, because they're taking something truthful from their statement. And that's just...
Well, and let's remember, sometimes the biggest bully in their life is the one that they should be able to turn to. So
right, well, we're talking about bullying amongst their peers. When it comes from within the family, that's totally, now you're talking totally different. That's a different level of bullying when it comes from the family unit.
Mm-hmm.
And you deal
with
it.
But a lot of times it's a continuum of where it starts there, so they don't have that. I mean, we just have to make sure that we're realizing that in a normal world where mommy and daddy love you and brothers and sisters look out for you and you look out for each other, and that's the way it's supposed to be. But if it's not, and then you go out there and you're hit with more of the same, then I think that's when a lot of the major issues hit. That's when some of the mental things that we've talked about so many times, like schizophrenia and bipolarism and things like that, because you slide into different realities so that you can deal with the real reality. So it's this
question. Isn't it true that most of the bullies have a rough home life and that they're
acting out because they can't fight it, but
the people that are bullied generally come from where they're not suffering that at home.
Well,
and maybe they're treated too well, and they don't know how to deal with someone not treating them well outside the home.
Well, see, the sad part about that is you also have the scenario, and all different kinds of scenarios, obviously. We both know that. But say you have a child who is picked on at home. Maybe they are a little goofy kid, you know. I mean, some of us embrace the goofiness in others. Some of us make fun of it. We're all different. I mean, I particularly like kind of goofy people. I like people that don't march to the same drummer that everybody else is marching to. I always have. So I appreciate their differences, and of course that's what they have to do to be able to survive if they're really different. But I this cutting thing for me is like, even with all the things I've learned and whatever I learned before and the things that I learned at the Institute talking to people who, some of them, I never met an adult that admits to being a cutter that really would tell me, but I once sat with an adult who I could see the scars on their arms, and they told me everything else, and they never told me that. So I found that to be kind of an interesting state of affairs as well, because she told me pretty dark secrets, but not that one. You know what I mean? So, but we will continue to talk about cutting, because I think it's, of all the things that we know about, it's probably one of the most horrendous, and can certainly, well, like this young woman in this, she started planning a day that she was pretty sure she was going to die. The mom doesn't explain how, whether she thought it was going to be natural causes or due to the cutting or whether she'd do it to herself. She didn't explain that. Remember in the article I just read, she just said that she had a date for her death. And when she didn't die on that day, the next day they celebrated her life, and that's when things didn't get perfect but started getting better. So, but the next story I want to talk about, because I think as the weeks go on, whenever I can find stories like that, this, we'll use them to help learn a little bit more about these situations. Because one of the other kids that get bullied all the time are the kids that are too good to be true. Proverbial goody two shoes kids. The ones that in middle school won't sneak a cigarette with everybody else because they know they're going to get caught and they don't want to. Or the ones that don't swear when everybody else is sitting around in a room where there's only kids and everybody's using every four-letter word they ever heard come out of their parents' mouth. The one kid that sits in the corner and doesn't say anything. So this is a story about that and how her daughter got bullied because she was a good girl. So she poses a question in the beginning of it. It says, my seventh grade daughter is a rule follower. When the other kids want to play pranks, she does not like to participate and often thwarts their attempts. Her clear sense of right and wrong does not make her popular with the other girls. In fact, one girl in particular torments her. She plays pranks on my daughter, and everyone is laughing while my daughter feels demeaned and tortured. that same girl will elbow her when she walks by her, but then deny it if the school counselor calls her on it. Do I transfer my daughter to a different school, or is there something I can do to help her in the current setting? So this is a question and answer from the Teen magazine, and this is from one of their authoritative figures that work for the magazine. Answer. Your daughter has more power than she realizes. She just needs to find a way to turn it on. Her peers think the pranks are funny, but being the butt of public jokes is hurting her feelings and eroding her self-esteem. Bullying is a power dynamic that can suck people in without them realizing it. Otherwise, nice kids often cross the line and act mean, and we've seen that happen a lot. When I was in sixth grade, for example, I was a pretty nice kid. But for a while there, a new friend and I had way too much fun turning our protection against cooties game. You remember those games, Shel? Into protection against Carol, who, of course, was doing nothing to us. It was just that everyone was teasing her, so it seemed like the right thing to do. Finally, my teacher pulled me aside and told me I was better than that. Carol has feelings, too, he said. What I had thought was innocent fun was really hurting someone. Once I realized that, I was horrified with myself. After that, I became the sort of person who stands up for those who are different. On the other side of the bullying dynamic is being the one who is being picked on. It's a very hard place to be, but it brings the gift of finding their power. Now, this story is a few more paragraphs long, but before I go any further, do you believe that, Shel? On the other side of the bullying dynamic is being the one who's picked on. It's a very hard place to be, but it brings the kids a gift, the gift of finding their power. Do you believe that?
I think I believe that a child who's being bullied that learns how to overcome it would only learn how to overcome it by finding their power. So it can be an avenue to find their power. So, yes, I do believe that.
Do you think they do that on their own?
No, I don't think they can, because if they're victims of bullying to begin with, then that means they don't have the instinctual power. And the reason why I'm saying that is I'm listening to this story and I'm remembering when I was a kid, and I went through a lot of the same things that some of these children that we're reading about went through, but the difference is, because of who I am, because of my particular personality traits, I'm very self-assured. And I was the goody-two-shoes in my school and amongst my friends. And even at a very young age, if they did things that I thought were not kind or wrong, I would stand up. I never tattled on anybody. I didn't go that far because I would deal with it with them. I would say, that's not right. Don't do that. And I would get upset, but I wouldn't get hysterical upset. I would get almost authoritatively upset, and they would listen to me. Instead of getting angry with me for not wanting to go along with them, I'd have kids that would be like, maybe we shouldn't do this, and they would lose their head of steam for this stupid thing they wanted to do to somebody because of my reaction. So, but it's because I came across very authoritative. I didn't come across like complaining or like I'm going to tell on you. I came across like that is not cool. And I was very self-assured in my attitude that that was not a cool thing to do. And I could diffuse them. So, but because I was very comfortable in my morality and in what I was saying, it like there was no room for them to come back and bully me. And if they did, then I just stopped associating. I wouldn't be friends with them anymore. But a lot of these, none of these kids ever felt that they could bully me because I was so self-assured in what I was saying. Sometimes they just wouldn't be friends with me, but they wouldn't taunt me afterwards because I came across too self-assured of myself, and I think that put them off. And I think that's one of the reasons I didn't get bullied, although some people would attempt and then stop because they see it didn't go anywhere. So a lot of the things that Izzy talks about to tell kids to do, I did instinctually. It was my personality. So I know the techniques worked because I think that's one of the reasons I got through school. I had a big mouth, and kids would leave me alone.
Where do you get that had stuff? Where do you get that had
what?
Stuff? Where do you get that past tense from?
had a big mouth.
That's
funny. Yeah, well, you know, and you know, like you've described me before, you know, like I'm 5'1". You know, I'm not an intimidating person by sight, yet I've intimidated people, you know, much bigger than me, both men and women, just because when I say something, and I don't get vulgar, and I don't curse people out, and I don't threaten people, but when I speak with a sense of I know what I'm talking about, I'm comfortable with what I'm saying, and this is the way it is. Take it or leave it. So it doesn't leave the room open for somebody being taunting or unkind. And I've even met people who did that anyway, but because I don't respond to it, they stop. You know, it's not that I've never been subjected to this type of behavior, but because I don't respond to it, they almost look foolish if they continue and they stop. Because I maintain myself, I don't get ruffled by the nonsense, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so, but see, there's my argument for this, everything that you're saying, and this is why I don't think that's good. Good isn't the right word. I don't think I don't think that happens enough or a lot. On the other side of bullying dynamics is being the one who's picked on. It's a very hard place to be, but it brings kids the gift of finding their power. I do believe in some cases it does. I do believe that because they're already aware of their power. If they have no awareness of any power, and if they are growing up in a home where some of the same is being perpetrated on them, then power is a long way away from their psyche. They don't think they possess any kind of power. Otherwise, you know, they could blink their eyes and get the hell out of Dodge. Is probably
right. And that, and when the abuse is coming from within the family structure, it's a completely different dynamic.
Right. So the other thing, when you talk about yourself, I know you pretty well. I didn't know you when you were a little kid, but I can imagine. I can use my imagination and think back when you were a little tiny girl, that you still took the Banty Rooster pose when somebody threatened Nina or your mother or anybody else that you thought you had to protect. That's who you were born to be, and that's who you are. I can't see anybody getting away with bullying you. I can see you being self-righteous about being the good kid and knowing the difference between right and wrong very easily. But not everybody's born like that. Not everybody has that kind of personality. And most of the kids that are bullied into a place where they're on self-destruct don't have a personality like yours. If they did, they'd have never been put in that place to begin with. They just, you know, you have people that are victims. Have you ever been in a room with a couple, maybe like two or three babies, like in a nursery or something, babies that are still not sitting up yet, like say 3-month-old baby? Somebody will yell, and one of the babies jumps right out of a sound sleep and starts crying. One of the babies opens their eyes and looks around kind of like, what the hell was that? You know, you can see the look on their face like, I don't usually hear big, loud noises like that. The other baby doesn't even wake up. Three totally different personalities already in 3-month-olds. I've seen all types of those babies.
Yep, I've seen it within my nieces and nephew. They're all different.
Exactly. The one that is startled awake and cries before they even know what it was is going to be one kind of a personality. The one who wakes up and says, oh, I just heard a loud noise, and looks around the room to see if he or she can assess what the loud noise was. And the other one figures it didn't have anything to do with him. He's still fine and warm and cozy. I'm staying asleep. Three entirely different personalities, right?
Exactly.
So when all of them get into kindergarten, it's kind of preordained. What changes us is other people's behavior and how we're treated. But already you've got an overreactor, a mellow reactor, but, you know, I can deal with this, and one that's an underreactor. So they're going to be
right.
Those same kind of five-year-olds, right, until things start happening. So
right.
To find your power, for me, is like a, is, I don't know. I think most of us are born with that power, and I agree that it can be beaten down into your toes, so you have a rough time finding it again. I believe that. I believe that it can be too overwhelming, and maybe you even become a bully. I believe there's a lot of things that can happen with that, but I it's hard for me to imagine that by being picked on, most of us are going to find any power. That it's just hard for me. I wish it was true. I want it to be true. But it seems unlikely to me. So let me finish this story. When my son was in sixth grade, day after day, he would come home with terrible stories. Finally, at my wit's end, I asked him if he wanted to leave the school. No, of course not, he said, alarmed. Well then, I said, give me 10 reasons why you want to stay. He had no trouble making this list. Thinking through what was important to him gave him the strength to stay positive and move forward rather than focus on the negativity. Now, that paragraph I love because I do that a lot. Right now, there's a lot of things going on in a workplace that I'm very familiar with, and a lot of people are upset about what's happening, and a lot of people are feeling very insecure, and they call me to just get a little bit of moral support, and I say, write a list. Write a list about what you still are very happy about where you are and another list that you're very sad about, and then compare the list. See what is the strongest, and then maybe you can analyze a little bit about where you want to go. So I love that. I love when somebody says to me, I'm sick and tired of my husband. I can't take it anymore. You're mad at him. I want you to think about, you know, the nice things he did for you and still see if you feel that way. If there's an adult teacher or counselor who can keep an eye on the very common dynamic that is happening with your daughter and intervene appropriately, you shouldn't have to leave the school. They do seem to be crossing the line from testing her, as many peer groups do, to ritualistic bullying. Cuts to school funding have diminished. I don't want to read all this because this is propaganda as far as I'm concerned. This is trying to figure out a way to release the schools because it's a teen, you know, it's a children's magazine or a parent's magazine. So I'm not going to read all this because I don't believe most of it and I don't want to argue about it. It's what they do. But I think that in truth is what you just said. And people like you, and people like me, although we're very different people, we are usually the ones that are standing in the corner and help whoever is being picked on for whatever reasons. And even though we've got totally different personalities, but we would both be the helpers to some kid that was getting picked on or even some adult that was getting picked on.
Right.
Because we have that ever elusive thing today called morals. So we're out of time, but I loved talking about this. My heart goes out to anybody who's struggling like the first story. Jeez. If you need us,
yeah,
call us, because at least you'd have somebody to talk to openly, and you wouldn't have to be ashamed or embarrassed, because I think that might play into this a little bit. We will be back tomorrow, and I'm hoping, again, we can have a healthy show and perhaps even get Michael Berganzi to talk on the air about his 25
oh, cool.
years in this industry. That would be fun. And then Thursday we'll do Week in Review, because Friday I will be on my way home. I miss everybody so much. So everybody have a great day. Go out there and make it the best you can. Is it going to be nice in Florida today, Shell?
Yeah. We're going to be in the upper 70s, and it's only going down to the high 60s at night, so we're getting less of a span of temperature. So, yeah, it's getting a little bit more comfortable here again. It's going to continue that trend through the week.
Good, good. I made a call to
sunny weather.
Yeah, good. I need some sun. I need some sun. That's the only. The cold weather doesn't bother me as much as the gray skies. You know what I mean? So, all right, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
God bless. Have a great day. We'll be back tomorrow. Bye bye. Thanks, honey.
All right.
Talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks.
Bye bye.
Talk to you in the morning.